To see this goodly number out this morning to come to worship the God of heaven. It's good to have some visiting with us. Among those visiting is Joyce Tucker's grandson Tyler and his friend, and we're grateful they're here. Appreciate their presence, and we have others who are visiting with us. Want you to feel comfortable as you make your visit. Encourage you to take your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. Should you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. But if you find truth has been taught, we pray that you'll make the proper application. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. And upon your faith and confession that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'd be glad to pray with and for you this very morning. Appreciate the reading Brother Connor did, but if you'll go with me to 1 Kings chapter 20, we'll just read three verses to recap a little bit of what he read. Appreciated him reading this morning. But look, if you will, in 1 Kings 20, look at verse 23. Then the servants of the king of Syria said to him, "Their gods are gods of the hills, therefore they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they." Then to save some time, drop down to verse 28. Then a man of God came out and spoke to the king of Israel and said, "Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, 'The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys,' therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord." And they encamped opposite each other for seven days, so it was that on the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel killed 100,000 foot soldiers of the Syrians in one day. At this particular time, I want you to know that Israel, though greatly outnumbered, had defeated Syria in the mountains. And Syria, trying to justify and to qualify their losing, said, "The only reason we lost to Israel is because their God is a God that's confined to the hills. They won because he is a God of the mountains. But if we could get Israel to leave the mountainside and come down into the valley, we surely will defeat them because their God will not fight with them in the valleys." So they purposed to fight Israel in the valley, and God had heard of their boast, and his anger burned hot. And to prove that he is the God, not of only the hills, but of the valleys, notice in verse 29, in one day, Syria lost 100,000 footmen. That's just the foot soldiers. We don't know how many total they lost. But he is showing what a great victory God gave the people, even in the valley of life. And I want you to take note that God has established that his strength is not limited or confined to any one locality. That the God who reigns in the hills is also the God of the valleys. I want to talk to you about the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. The first thing I want us to recognize is God did some great things upon the mountains. If you take your Bible in the book of Exodus and the 19th chapter, notice, if you will, that on this occasion you find God coming down to Mount Sinai and Moses going up. And notice the Bible says in verse 20, "The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." Can you imagine there where he gave him the commandments and the law at that particular time, what it would have been like to have been Moses on the top of that mountain? What a great event occurred when God gave the law on top of Mount Sinai. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Deuteronomy and the third chapter. And when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 3, you remember that the people are going to enter into the land of promise. But Moses, because of his sin of striking the rock instead of talking to it, and instead of giving God glory, took the glory, was not permitted to go into the land of promise. But notice what God tells him to do in verse 27. "Go up on the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes towards the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you now shall cross over this Jordan." But can you imagine, my friend, when he stood on that mountain, what he witnessed? When he looked at the land of promise that he had brought the people to, And even though he would not enter at this time, he was able to behold the land God had promised his people. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look if you will in the book of Matthew in the 17th chapter. And in Matthew chapter 17, you'll find on this occasion that they're on a mountain. And Jesus had brought up with him Peter, James, and John. And on this occasion, you'll find Jesus transfigured. Jesus' appearance changed in some way, and he began to shine white. And you'll remember that Moses and Elijah was there. Moses now is finally in the land of promise, but I'm sure he's not concerned about that now. But notice that he is talking, and can you imagine being there, being Peter, James, or John, when Jesus' appearance was transfigured? What a great event that occurred upon the mountain at that particular time. But then if you take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, notice when Jesus was going to teach that great sermon that he went up on a mountain. And notice the Bible said he saw the multitudes. He went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then he preached that great sermon we identify as the Sermon on the Mount. Can you imagine being there and listening to Jesus as he proclaims about his kingdom? What kind of attitude one must have? What kind of life one must live if they're going to be a citizen in the kingdom of God? Oh, God did great things upon mountains. But then if you take your Bible, look again at one last example. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, notice in verse 12, that it was Jesus who had been on Mount Olivet when he ascended back into heaven. And it says they left Olivet and went back to Jerusalem. If you look at the end of the Gospel of Luke, you remember it said he took them as far as Bethany. That's on Mount Olivet. That's where Jesus ascended back to the Father. So we know this much this morning, that God did great things on mountains. That God has power upon high. But do not limit God to any locality, because notice, God did great things in valleys too. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly, to 1 Samuel and the 17th chapter. And when you come to 1 Samuel and the 17th chapter, you remember that at this time, the Philistines are at war with the Israelites. And you recall that at this time, Israel was gathered on one mountain, and the Philistines were gathered upon another mountain. And in between was the Valley of Elah. I've been fortunate enough to be there and to look at that valley and to see the mountains on each side. And I'll tell you, my friend, can you imagine that valley when Goliath would come down from the Philistine army and he would curse the people of Israel saying, send one man down, we'll have a winner-take-all battle. And you'll remember that no one would come until David, the shepherd boy, took his sling and went down into the Valley of Elah and with one stone struck Goliath and then cut off his head and killed him. Have you ever thought when that stone sunk into his head and killed the giant that showed that God was with him? Remember that David does not take credit. In 1 Samuel 17, notice that he says that the battle is the Lord's in verse 47. He gives glory to God. Goliath comes, he said, with power and might. But David said, I come in the name of the Lord. You come with a spear and a javelin, but I come with the authority of God. Oh, I'll tell you, in that valley, God displayed his power. But then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look again, if you will, at another great event that occurred in the book of Joshua and the 10th chapter. In the book of Joshua and the 10th chapter, you remember in the Valley of Ajalon, when the people were fighting the Amorites and Joshua was leading the people in the valley, you'll remember at that time, God stayed the sun and the moon, so the day was prolonged and they were able to defeat the Amorites. There in that valley of Ajalon, as they're fighting, God made sure that they had the time to defeat their enemy, and God was with them. And I recognize that the God of the mountains is also the God of the valley. But then, if you will, for just a moment, look, if you will, in 2 Kings chapter 3. In 2 Kings chapter 3, notice that at this time, Israel was fighting the Moabites. And they run short of water. And notice that the army must have water, and God tells them, make this valley full of ditches. And when they dug those ditches in verse 16, the blessing of God came, and the water that they needed came. And notice the Bible says that God filled the ditches. I want you to know, my friend, in that valley, God did great things. But then if you take your Bible, let's look at one more example. If you take your Bible, I want you to look and notice that God is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys when you look at the valley of the shadow of death. Have you ever thought that David said, though I walk through that valley, God is with me? Now then, I want you to think about some great spiritual battles that occur. And they are won in the valleys. You know, many times when we are living life and life seems like a mountaintop experience, everything's good, life's going great, it's one thing. But when you're living life and you're having a problem and you're in the valley, do you recognize that is often the time we grow the most spiritually? So often we try to avoid the valleys of life, and yet we fail to see that God is still God when we're going through a valley or a time of trial and trouble. As I think about those young Hebrew men in the book of Daniel in the third chapter, you remember that Nebuchadnezzar said, you'll bow or you'll burn. And you'll remember they said that we will not bow before your false idol. We'll not bow down to some golden image. And they said, our God will deliver us. Have you ever thought that in that great valley they displayed their faith? They put their faith even though it was put to the test. And they said, we will not bow. But then you look at Daniel. Daniel, when was your great battle? Was it when you were in the having the greatest days of your life? When you were doing the dreams and prophesying? No. He said it was when I was in the lion's den. And God shut the mouth of the lions in the valley. Ask Stephen when he in Acts 7 was being put to death. In that valley where they were casting stones, what does he see? He sees God's Son standing at the right hand. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, great spiritual battles have been won in the valley. I want to take that. I want to make several applications and the lesson yours. I first want us to see that the God is the God on the mountaintops in our life. And we need to be thankful for the good days we have. You know, sometimes we take for granted many of the happy days we enjoy. And yet we need to be thankful that God has blessed us, and there are many happy days we rejoice to tell about, and we need to thank God for His power and love. Ever thought about your wedding day? I hope it's a good memory for you. I don't know how many weddings I've done. But I'll tell you what, isn't that a special day when you see a man and woman come together that love one another, and then you see them years later still married? What a day that is on your wedding day. I bet your brother Guy can think back about the day he was married. I bet your brother Tommy can think about it. You know, I've stood up and I always see the bride. I've never seen an ugly bride. Of course, they're wearing a veil. That might be the reason. But I've seen some grooms that needed some adjustments or two. And they come down and they hold each other's hand and they just look lovingly. And I'm trying to get them to look at me to say some things. And you just think of that day. What a day. And we experience that. Or the day that, as Brother Guy brought out, the child is born. Oh, what a day. The first time you held that baby. The first time that you were able to look at the child, hold the child. What a day. Or a happy day when you got a promotion at your job. Or a happy day when we come together on the Lord's Day and the church is at rest and we're working and we're unified and we're not bickering but we're doing God's will and we're all striving for the same thing. And it's not difficult to sing the praises of God when we're on the mountains. But I want to tell you, there's going to be valleys too. What if there's marital problems? What if your companion dies? Are you still going to thank God that He gave them to you? When you're walking through the valley and life is hard and you're down in there and you're struggling with your faith, do you remember that God is the God of the valley as well as the mountaintop? That child that you want help, what if he has a disease? Or what if that child is killed in an automobile accident? Or what if they leave the faith? That father in Luke 15 who was heartbroken when his son went into the far country. I'll tell you, we can go through valleys in life, but one thing we must remember is even when we're in the valley, do not forget that the God of the hills is the God of the valleys. That He's not left us. He's still there. He's not going to remove every problem and trial because we're Christians. I'll tell you, this world is not our home. We need to get that point down. We're just going through, and there's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. But one thing we need to remember, our days are numbered, and one day we're going to meet God in the judgment. Then we'll be with Him forever. When you think about church problems, and you think about a local church that's struggling with issues, I'll tell you that can cause heartache. But I'll tell you one thing that the psalmist said in the 121st Psalm. He said, I lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Look beyond the hills. He said, my help comes from the Lord. Oh, that's one of my favorite psalms. He said, my Lord is there. And what we need to remember is that the God of the hills is the God of the valley. You know, one thing I've learned about people that are sick is they sometimes get a great perspective on life. And sometimes when we start to think about life like David, when David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why can someone say that? The only way they can say that is because they know that the God of the hills is the God of the valley. There is a place called the Valley of Death over in the Middle East. And it's probably been there since the time of Abraham. Now, I don't know if this is what David had in mind, but I have read where during the morning time, the shepherds will go up the hill, and in the evening they'll go down or the other way around because it's such a narrow passage. And when you get to a particular place, there's a valley or a ditch. Now, a shepherd can stand over that ditch. He's able to straddle that ditch. And if he fell in, it wouldn't hurt him. But for a sheep to fall in could be catastrophic. It would either break its neck, or if the shepherd wasn't there to pull it out, it would die. And all the shepherd does is stand with one foot on each side, and he helps the sheep make the jump across. The sheep line up, the sheep wait their turn, they get to that valley, and the shepherd just puts his hands on their side and helps them across. You ever thought that's what God does for us from this life to heaven? That's why David could say, when I come to the end of my life, I'm not fear. All God's going to do is help me make the jump from this life to eternity. And I'm not going to fear. Why? My shepherd's there. My God, who is the God of the hills, is the God of the valley. I'll tell you, some of us are going through valleys right now. We've got some people who are struggling right now with different things. And I'll tell you one thing, my beloved friend. At this time, never forget, God still is on His throne. And God is the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. And we need to believe that and put our faith in Him. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you do so this morning as together we stand and sing. We cordially